Bibles. Mark chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 1. He began to teach again by the sea. And such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. He was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see, and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. What we have here, and what Mark is now going to introduce to us, is a whole section on parables. It begins here in verse 1 of Mark 4. It goes all the way through verse 34 of Mark 4. There's going to be a listing of four parables. Mark gives five parables. There's another one that will come later on. But if you look at verse 33 that ends this section, it says, "With many such parables, he was speaking the word to them, so far as they were able to hear. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples." You see what's happening here? He's speaking to the large crowd in parables, and then in private, he's explaining everything to his disciples. What we're going to do this morning, the goal is to define what a parable is and to try to understand why Jesus taught in parables. So what we're going to get this morning in the time that we have is an introduction to the introduction of chapter 4. What is a parable? Really, if you go to the Greek text and you look the word parabole, which really the word parable is just a transliteration. It is not a translation of that word. But the Greek word really doesn't help us much here in our understanding, because the Greek word basically means that which comes alongside, or that which is placed alongside of it. And so many people look at parables and they think, okay, parables are like sermon illustrations. Jesus is giving this parable, this story, to illustrate the point that he's making. And it's really not true. He was giving parables so that those who see may not perceive, those who hear may not hear and repent and be forgiven. And we go, wait a minute. The word parable, in the way that Jesus uses parables, really comes from the Hebrew maskel, or teaching. It can mean just some of the following: a comparison, a proverb, an allegory, a fable, a riddle, a taunt, a type, a mystery. A parable is a story from nature or human life to illustrate a spiritual truth. Put this in your mind. A parable is a story, as Jesus is using them in this section, and as we find them in Scripture, is a story from nature or human life to illustrate a spiritual truth. And you're probably already ahead of me. If you are going to understand a parable, what are you going to need? Spiritual ears. If we're going to understand what Jesus is teaching in the parables, we must have ears to hear, hearts to receive. This is what a parable is. It is a story from nature or human life to illustrate a spiritual truth. Now, why in the world would Jesus teach in parables? What was His purpose in teaching in parables? Remember, go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 14. What Jesus came to do, what Jesus is doing in His ministry. Now, verse 14, now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preaching the gospel of Christ, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. They're all the same thing. This is what He was saying, verse 15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel of the good news that all the promises of the Old Testament, all the promises of the Old Covenant has been fulfilled, will be fulfilled in me and this new people of God that's being formed under this new covenant. Jesus is now announcing the coming of the kingdom of God, the coming of the kingdom of heaven, and He's announcing that He is the King. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one. And He does miracles, and He does healings, and He does signs, all to point to the fact that that is who He is. We're not to get caught up in the signs. We're not to get caught up in the miracles. We're not to get caught up in the healings. All of those were just signs pointing to Jesus saying, listen to what He is saying. Listen to Him. Now, as Jesus is speaking this message, we've seen that there's been opposition from various groups. There's been opposition from the demonic forces. There's been opposition from the religious leaders. We saw last week that there's even opposition from His own family, who thought He was crazy, thought He was out of His mind, came to lay hold of Him, to take Him into custody. And He says, who's my brother, who's my sister, and who's my mother, except these who do the will of my Father, these who have ears to hear what I am saying about who I am. So Jesus now begins to teach in parables, because if He doesn't, everyone's going to get madder than they are right now. Everyone except those who have ears to hear will become angry, will seek to destroy him. King Herod will not be happy to hear the announcement that there is a new king in the area. The religious leaders will not be happy to understand that their power and their authority and their view of the Scriptures have been all naught. The crowds who are coming to Jesus to see what thing He's going to do next, the crowds who are coming to Jesus because they're getting their bellies filled and they're getting their felt needs met and they're getting healed of diseases and they're getting healed of afflictions, and those crowds who are coming to Jesus to say, man, this is the best doctor we've ever met. He can cure everything. When that crowd hears that that's not what He's come to do, that's not what His kingdom is about, that in His kingdom that He's announcing, there will be trials, there will be tribulations, there will be pain, there will be suffering, there will be heartache until the consummation. Mary and his brothers and sisters didn't understand. Coming to take custody of him. The nation of Israel is not going to be happy to hear that they are not the center of God's redemptive plan. They are not the center of God's redemptive purposes. So just like Isaiah, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 6, go back to Isaiah chapter 6. After Isaiah has the experience of seeing God enthroned, the cherubim, the seraphim coming and laying a coal upon his lips. Verse 8, Isaiah is given his commission as a prophet of God to come and to preach to the nation of Israel. And this is what he's to preach. Verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. Same thing that we just read Jesus was doing. So Jesus, as the final prophet, as the final priest, as the final king, is announcing and doing exactly the same thing to the nation of Israel. To the nation of Israel. He's announcing the kingdom. He's announcing the gospel. We're going to see the interpretation of this parable next week. But it's to teach two things. And it is so important. If you'll look at verse 13, as you read the parable this week, and I would encourage you to read this section of Scripture all the way down through verse 20. Read the interpretation. But this parable is so important. But look at verse 13. He says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? If we don't understand what's happening in the parable of the sower, we're not going to understand any of the parables. Because in this parable, we are seeing the announcement of the kingdom of God to the nation of Israel, and all the other parables will be developing and giving us a different picture of what the kingdom of God is. So at the heart, in the last couple of minutes, at the heart of, we look at this parable, what the parable of the sower is all about. Two things. I want you to think of two things as you read this parable this week and as you meditate on it, as you think about it. The parable is dealing with how the Word of God is received. We've sang the power of the cross this morning, that so sets forth the gospel. We're looking and trying to understand what a parable is, and Christ coming to announce the coming of the kingdom. How are we receiving? How do we receive the Word of God? Jesus is sitting in that boat and he's talking to all those people from the nation of Israel, and he is, the main point of this is, how is that word being received? Is it being received in a way that causes us to fall more and more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? Was it received by those people in such a way that they fell in love with Christ and they began to follow Christ, and they left their boats and they left their nets and they became disciples and followers of Christ out of love, understanding who He is. And out of that vision of who Christ is and out of that love produced by the grace of God, there became this obedience, the producing of 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. How the Word of God is received is an absolute importance to the audience that was being delivered to. And then as we learn from that parable, it challenges us every time we come. Every time we come to the Word of God, how am I receiving this? Is it driving me to the gospel of Jesus Christ, or is it taking me in some other direction? How am I receiving it? And then finally, how successful the Word of God is. It will be successful. The gospel will accomplish its purpose. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. In the book of Isaiah, from chapter 40 through chapter 55, you have the setting forth of the coming servant, the coming Messiah. These are passages that Isaiah begins this forward look to someone's coming, who he is, what is going to happen, what it's going to be. And in Isaiah 55, look at verse 10. Now, just as you're looking at this parable this coming week, the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of the Word of God is about Christ. All of the Word of God points to Christ and to this gospel of Christ. Verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I send it. For you go out with joy, you will be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. Isaiah chapter 40, turn there with me real quick. The Word of God is going to succeed. It's going to water. It's going to bring forth its fruit. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Back up to verse 7. Some of your favorite verses, this is probably some of your favorite verses. Verse 7, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the breath of the Lord blows, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. He's addressing the nation of Israel. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Jesus is practicing that at that very moment in that boat. He's sowing the word of God, the kingdom. And he knows how it's going to be received, but he knows that there's a people out there. There's a remnant out there who has been prepared, been given ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive. That's the introduction. Let's pray. Father, help us by giving us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and minds to comprehend, focused only upon the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, this precious gospel that says we are sinners, deserving of wrath for eternity. But you have come and rescued us by dying as our substitutes upon the cross of Calvary. Your word has been planted in our hearts and it's bringing forth fruit. A life of joy and peace and purpose, centered not in religion, but upon Jesus Christ in this gospel. Father, may that go forth in our lives in every aspect. And as a church, may that be our witness and testimony as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.